Is it not a blessing that we have every Sunday we can come together and gather as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ? We gather as a church in a place where we're able to freely give and receive and worship and fellowship together. Today is a special day. As we worship, we celebrate. We remember one of the big occasions in our faith, in our lives, and in the life of the church, the day of Pentecost. Our reading today from Acts is considered one of the most important passages of the New Testament. The coming of the Holy Spirit to those gathered in Jerusalem for the Pentecost festival. The disciples receive and are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of another of God's promises is described and fulfilled. So almost 2,000 years since Pentecost, we gather and have the opportunity every day to also receive this power and presence of the Holy Spirit with us. Today is referred to as the birthday of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, the strong wind, gale force, which no one could tell where it came from, of God's Spirit that was to spread through Jesus' followers like a wildfire and fill them with a new fire of passion and sense of God's presence and power. Then Peter, preaching the first Christian sermon, as he stands in public and talks about Jesus. To all those who had come running, they were bewildered, amazed, perplexed by what extraordinary events were happening. We can sense even Luke had struggle putting it into words. This is a truly significant time. It's significant in our individual faith and in the life and the body of the church. We have God in action for all to see. Our world changes and is transformed by this coming of the Holy Spirit. So Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles and shouted out, saying, "All of you visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and make no mistake about this. What you see was predicted long ago by the prophet of Joel." To put the significance of this event in context, let us remember that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given only to a very few people. Judges and kings and prophets were inspired for tasks. But most people could never have the power or know the power and presence of God with them. God and his law was always outside them. But the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel had promised that one day God's people would have the joy and be able to love and serve God. And in our Old Testament reading, Joel foretold the promise of God that God's Spirit would be poured out on all the people one day. God again delivers on his promises. The time to the apostles with the gift of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the gift from God. Reflecting on the Old Testament, we had a God of law, and in the New Testament, Jesus, but both were a God of grace. And it had always been a God who makes promises with us and keeps them. So Peter, once one of the devastated group of men and women who had witnessed Jesus' execution, was by now transformed. So he was now passionate and inspired, part of the group of apostles, come evangelists, who were ready to proclaim the good news of the risen Saviour to the world. Peter proclaims from the passage in Joel to all those gathered, "And whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved." So Peter is making it clear that salvation is free and available to all, as promised by God. Peter explains that the apostles are not drunk. That is the Holy Spirit of God who is enabling them to talk in the various languages, reminding them of Joel's prophecy. God pouring out his Spirit freely and without limit for all people, men and women, young and old, living their lives with God, having visions and speaking the word. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit was happening before their eyes. It has been said that Acts, which is referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, could equally be described as Acts of the Holy Spirit. Such is the significance and power of this gift which God had promised. So let us briefly look at who is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one part of our triune God, the Trinity, one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or another version from John Webster, a recent iconic theologian of our times, reflecting on Trinitarian theology, describes the triune God as one indivisible essence in an irreducible threefold personal modification, i.e., God's unity is characterized by three modes of being, in each of which the entire divine essence subsists in a particular way. Wow! God is so great. God is so awesome. Humanly, theologically, he's hard to describe. What is this gift of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit to us? It has been said that in coming to church, we can follow the routine of our Sunday services. Then we go out and be of the world which we are in each week. Before we then come back to church the following Sunday, we can have our religion without the Holy Spirit. I have been there and experienced the emptiness of church life without the Holy Spirit. The significant difference is we're not in relationship with God without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit becomes the game changer from God for us. Amazingly, the Holy Spirit is a gift freely given by God and available to us freely to receive. God's gift to us of the Holy Spirit is so we may all have the Holy Spirit filling us, living in our hearts, guiding us, and directing our lives. And as we come into closer relationship with God, it allows our wills to align more and more closely with God's will. And that's when extraordinary things happen. At Pentecost, God gives the apostles the power they need for their mission and ministry. Jesus promised that God the Father would send his Holy Spirit to remind them of his teaching and show them the way. Many of you will remember Robin McClay, who worshipped here at Karori for many years before going to be installed and ordained in Taita Parish. For what seemed like years, Robin shoulder tapped me, asking me to consider being involved in prison ministry. Every time I politely resisted her call. I then received a letter from a faithful and passionate lay leader planning a Tiaro Pono or Kaseo course in the prison to be run over 4 consecutive days. As I read the letter of invitation to participate, I sensed God saying to me, "This is a blessing. You are privileged to be asked to participate, and particularly with this lay leader." However, also as I read the letter, my excuses of busyness and other commitments flowed freely in my mind. After a few days of little prayer or discernment, I picked up the phone at my office and tried to call with my typical, "Sorry, not this is the time, maybe another time," response. The phone was answered. We conversed, and as I hung up, I reeled with shock and horror as I reflected on my positive and enthusiastic response to the invitation to join the team. What had happened? The Holy Spirit was in action in my life. I went on to participate fully in the team, and then some 8 years later, once a month, every Sunday morning, I go to Rimataka and continue to experience what is an absolute privilege and a blessing to worship with those guys. Yes, the Holy Spirit in action in my life. An example of how freely we receive from God when freely we give to others. So what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives today? Lynn Baird, former New Zealand Presbyterian minister, explains, the Holy Spirit is God's presence with us. But what does God do in us? God empowers or enables us to hear his voice, empowers or enables us to receive his direction, empowers us to persevere with that direction, empower us to rest in God's goodness and his grace, and much more. The Holy Spirit is present with us in so many ways, empowers and enables us. So why does the Holy Spirit matter? Through the Holy Spirit, it's God's presence with us so that we can live and talk as if God's presence in our lives matters, and so that other people inside and outside the church can see our faith, and so that we can serve and love others as God loved us, so that we have the wisdom and guidance in our lives for our missions and ministries, so we are enabled with the power beyond ourselves for the challenges and tasks in our life. We live in a world of increasing complexities, challenges and needs. God's enabling presence, which we made possible by Jesus' life, death and resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit, seems more necessary today than ever. And as a church, we need the gift of the Holy Spirit to meet the challenges and opportunities awaiting us as the church. I was delighted that the only part of the wedding I saw last night was Bishop Michael Curry. And I realised that on Facebook and all the other social media, he was considered the highlight of the wedding. To me, that was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It was amazing to watch the responses of those who were there to watch the wedding and probably were very surprised what was happening. We finished with asking the questions. Do we want to receive God's gift, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit, and to be in relationship with God? Do we want the gift of God so freely given to enable us to meet the challenges and the tasks which we have in our daily lives? And as Jesus called the disciples to witness to all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, God challenges us today. It's to be not be idle as Christians. Our task is to make Christ known to the world. With the gifts we have each been given, we are now willing to be witnesses in our daily lives, with our families, in our communities, and to the ends of the earth. Today we finish our 10-day season of Ascension to Pentecost, being part of the global Thy Kingdom Come prayers, which reminds us of the unity we have with other Christians praying around the world. It reminds us the Holy Spirit was given to unite us as God works and his body here on earth, and the need for us to receive his empowerment so that we can undertake the work of proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Part of Thy Kingdom Come challenge, the Holy Spirit enabling us to share our faith, to make Christ known to the world, as Peter did on that day of Pentecost.